a small introduction. Around the 1930s or 20s in India, there was a struggle going on to free India. And based on the nature of the struggle, there was a difference in the ranks of Sulama al-Kiram. Sayyid Muhammad Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was for the struggle, and Sayyid Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh felt that the nature of the struggle is not permissible. So, when there is a difference of opinion, then you will find some people can contain themselves and they can guard themselves. And there are others that will cross the line. They will behave in a way that is not desirable. They will say things that are not appropriate. And they will do things that have got no justification. So one student of the Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he had written up a letter to him to inquire that in the face of these differences what is to be done. Yesterday we had dealt with one question. This is the second question that he had posed, and the crux of the second question was that who do you feel who is on the right and who is on the wrong in this issue? So the reply is that this is a baseless question. You're not supposed to be asking such a question. Then he gave the reason, says that when there is a situation, any situation that comes up to you, then to be able to decide and preside over that issue, then you need certain qualifications. Without those qualifications, it's not appropriate for you to preside over any case. Now, a person can just, he understands a little bit of Arabic and he can deliver some papers in Arabic, and then he begins to interpret the Quran Sharif or interpret the Hadith, and obviously this is gross, grossly incorrect. He just learned a little bit of Arabic, can deliver a little bit of papers in Arabic, then he wants to experiment with the Quran Sharif, and this is very wrong of him. It's not at all appropriate for him to embark on such a thing. Now, on the one end here, you have a personality like Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, who graduated in 1301, then 50 years of his life, he is dedicated in teaching, imparting knowledge, contemplating upon knowledge, imparting it, teaching it to others, etc. Now he has got a mountain of, a treasure of knowledge. Then you find a person like Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, who is also very great in knowledge. He had qualified around 1316 or so, and he had the constant company of his Sheikh, Sheikh Hind Rahmatullah Alayh. Then he had made a lot of sacrifices for the purpose or the cause of deen, and he had been in the company of his, of a very great, great alim. So he had a lot of time to be imparting knowledge, to be acquiring knowledge, to be contemplating about knowledge, and seeing situations, experiencing what's going on to Muslims throughout the Indian subcontinent. So he's got a treasure of knowledge and experience. And you've got such great personalities, so how do you preside over them? It's impossible for a person, like people like us, to preside over them. It says after that, that the right statement was what was made by Hazrat Mulana Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, when he was asked about the Sahaba kiram, so he says, Tilka dima'un taharallahu aydina bi dima'ihim. They were such personalities, Allah Ta'ala purified our hands from their blood. Then we don't want to soil our tongues by speaking disrespectfully about them. Right? So the same applies here, that Allah Ta'ala saved us from this whole thing. Now we don't want to jump into something and then we come out as sinners afterwards. So when you are presiding over a matter, what is required? Thing that is required is that you have sufficient knowledge, in fact even more knowledge, right? Because you're going to preside, so you need to have sufficient knowledge, in fact even more knowledge than the people that are involved in this difference. So you need even greater knowledge. Then you need to see the problems, weigh the arguments on both ends. After weighing the both arguments, then you need to see the problem areas. After you have seen the problem areas, then you ask the next person for his explanation, that he's explained this and I see this to be a weak area, problem area. Do you have any explanation for it? If he has the explanation, then you would have to ask the next person now, what are the weak areas in your argument, and do you have any explanation for yourself? So this is a long, lengthy procedure. And people, every person is not qualified to go and preside over such people. In place of lene ke dene ho jayega, in place of you giving them anything, in place of them, in place of you making any service, contributing any service here, you will be landed up with a problem just now. Okay. So he explained the same thing yesterday. He says that when there is a difference of opinion, and there is a difference in the senior ranking ulama, there'll be several situations. What you do is, you can do one of two things. One is, you have your own convictions, you're absolutely certain. When you're absolutely certain, you follow your certainty. Number two is, you're not absolutely clear. When you're not absolutely clear, then you can do one of two things. Then you live with the one for some time, and you live with the other one for some time. And then see, within the time that you live, you can clear out your mind and get your conviction. If that is also not easily manageable for you, then the simple thing you could do is that both are great ulama. When both are great ulama, then all you need to do is who you have greater confidence and trust in, and you feel what he is saying is right, then go with him, carry on. You will not be answerable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your whole concern is that will you be answerable? So you see the alim, and you see you have got great trust and confidence in him. Then you go with what he says. And the other one, that you don't have the level of trust, don't speak out against him, because you have trust in him, you have the confidence in him. It doesn't mean that this person is not reliable. Yes. You don't have the desired amount of confidence. Does it mean now that he's not a great person? Does it mean that his knowledge is not of that mark? No. His knowledge is of the mark, but you do not have the confidence. That's your weakness. Right? So he quotes an incident of Isa alayhi salam, that in a situation, you have, in any situation, you have three possibilities. Either you know that this is the truth. If you know and you're sure about the truth, you adopt it. Number two is, you know that it is wrong. If it's absolutely wrong, then you abandon it. And the third situation is that you're not clear whether it is true or whether it is not true. You don't seem to be able to weigh the arguments. You can't weigh the arguments both ways. Then refer it to the person that can weigh the argument. Now, why must every person try and become the judge? Right? I can weigh the arguments, then I weigh the arguments. And I cannot weigh the arguments, then why must I pretend to be someone what I am? I'm not. Right? Okay.
Would you
Now then he says that there are so many laws of fiqh. For example, al-ibratu al-umuru li maqasidiha. Al-umuru li maqasidiha. That's a law in fiqh now, that you will take a decision based on objective. What was the person's intention here? So the intention, the decision will be taken on the intention of the person. What was his intention? Based on the intention, then that will be the decision that will be passed over. Then you have a situation that you have one situation, but depending on the intention, for one person it will be permissible, for the other person it will be impermissible. A simple example to illustrate that is, it's a girl, right? So this person is watching and that person is watching. For him it is permissible, it is his daughter. So it is his daughter for him. To be watching her is permissible. For him it is a stranger. Now he is watching at this girl, it's impermissible. The act is the same. The action is the same. But for one person this action is permissible, and for the other person that same action becomes impermissible. Then he gives another usul, another principle, that يُتَحَمَّلُ الزَّرَرُ الْخَاسِ لِزَرَرِ الْعَامِ. Sometimes a small problem is tolerated in the face of a major problem. In the face of a major problem, a small problem is tolerated. Right? You can see, if you don't do this, it's going to turn out to be a big explosion, right? To understand that, you know, you tolerate a small problem in the face of a major problem, right? Person has got gangrene, so the doctor tells you that you'll have to amputate. You say, no, I don't want to amputate. So you tell him that you can tolerate a small problem in the face of a big problem. Here also is waste. You are cutting off your limb, and that's a waste of life. You know, you're wasting life, and wasting life is impermissible. But if you don't do this, it will result in the destruction of your entire body. So a small problem is tolerated to save yourself from a major disaster. Now all these are principles in fiqh, and these principles have to be understood. You need to digest it, and after digesting, then you need to be able to apply it. So not a small thing this. Just to be able to preside over anybody, any person comes out, he hasn't got the experience, hasn't got the knowledge, and then his name is Muhammad Fazil. Fazil means graduate, you know. So you can't say I'm a graduate, you just learn a little bit of kitabs and all that, and then become a graduate. So the depth of knowledge that is required.
یعنی اسلام کی اور مسلمانوں کی منفعت اور ان کو مزلت دینی سے بچانا دونوں حضرات کو مشترک مقصد اور ہونا بھی ضروری ہے کہ ادنا سا مسلمان بھی اس کو گوارا نہیں کر سکتا کہ اسلام کو یا مسلمانوں کو کچھ نقصان پہنچے چھ جائے گے اولیاء اللہ اور علماء کے متعلق اس قسم کی بدگمانی کی جائے یہ کتنی سخت غلطی ہے اس کے بعد اس مقصد کے حصول کے وقت دو راستے ہیں اور دونوں خطرات سے خالی نہیں ہے اور اس میں کسی کو بھی انکار نہیں ہے اب زیر بحث مسئلہ صرف یہ رہ جاتا ہے کہ کس طریقے میں مضرت زیادہ ہے کس میں کم ہے کون سی مضرت قابل تحمل ہے کون سی مضرت ناقابل برداشت ہے کون سا نقصان عام ہے اور کون سا خاص ہے اس کی مثال بھی آئی نہیں ان دو ڈرائیوروں کسی ہے جن کو مثلا مکہ مکرمہ جانا ہے اور موٹروں کو ان کے کچے راستے سے لے جانا ہے جن میں دلدلے ضرور ہیں لیٹروں کا ملنا بھی یقینی ہے خطرات بھی لازمی ہیں لیکن اختلاف اس میں ہے کہ کون سا ایسا راستہ ہے جس میں خطرات کم ہیں اور کون سا ایسا ہے جس میں خطرات زیادہ ہے کون سے راستے پر چل کر پہنچ جانے کا غلبہ ظن ہے اور کس راستے سے جانے سے دلدل میں پھنس کر راستے میں ایسے پھنس جانے کا خطرہ ہے کہ نہ پائے رفت نہ جائے ماندن کا مزداق بن جائے کس راستے میں یہ خطرہ ہے کہ کوئی مقامی حکومت قافلہ کو ایسا گرفتار کر لے کہ نہ واپس آنے دے نہ آگے جانے دے اسی صورت میں اگر دو ڈرائیوروں میں راستے کے بارے میں اختلاف ہو اور ہر ایک کے نزدیک ایک راستے پر سے جانے میں منزل مقصود تک پہنچ جانے کا غلبہ یظن ہو اور دوسرے میں خطرہ یقینی اور قطعی ہو تو اس میں کیا تو التزام ہے ڈرائیوروں پر اور کیا ذمہ داری ہے اس کی کہ جس راستے پر وہ لے جانا چاہتے ہیں اس میں کوئی خطرہ نہیں یا منزل مقصود تک پہنچنا یقینی ہے. اسی حالت میں تم ہی سوچو کہ جو ڈرائیور راستوں کے خطرات کی اصلاح کی فکر میں ہو دن رات اسی سوچ میں گھنے جاتے ہو قافلہ کو کس طرح منزل مقصود تک پہنچاؤ وہ قابل شکر گزاری ہے یا قابل ملامت دشنام ہے. وہ اس قابل ہے کہ ان کی جو اعانت ممکن سے ممکن ہو کی جائے یا اس کے قابل ہے کہ جو مشکلات ان کے راستے میں حائل کی جا سکتی ہے ان سے دریغ نہ کیا جائے. اور اس سے مسافر جو اپنے رہبروں کے انتظامات میں مشکلات حائل کرتے ہیں وہ اپنے اور اپنے بھائیوں کے اور اپنی قوم کے دینیات کو خطرہ میں ڈالتے ہیں یا ان کو کوئی نفع پہنچاتے ہیں میں پھر وہی کہوں گا کہ جس شخص کو اپنی بصیرت سے اپنے تجربے سے کسی ایک جانب خطرہ کم معلوم ہوتا ہے وہ اس راستے پر ضرور چلے, لیکن یہ کدھر کا انصاف ہے کہ دوسرے ماہر تجربہ کاروں کو سب وہ ختم کرے یا ان کو ستائے. تمہیں معلوم ہے کہ ہندوستان میں دو نظریے تقریباً 50 برس سے چل رہے ہیں. ایک یہ کہ مسلمان اقلیت میں ہیں ان کو ہندوستان میں سیاسی جد و جہد دوسری اقوام کے ساتھ مل کر کرنا ضروری ہے ورنہ اکثریت کے خلاف رہ کر کسی سعی کا مسمر ہونا مشکل ہے, وہ اس اتحاد میں کچھ تسامح بھی کرنا پڑے. دوسرا نظریہ یہ ہے کہ حنود کی تنگ نظری سے ان کے ساتھ ملنے میں مقصد تک پہنچنے سے قبل ہی بہت سے دینی اور دنیاوی نقصانات برداشت کرنا پڑیں گے اور مقصد تک پہنچنا یقینی نہیں. اسی صورت میں مسلمانوں کو اپنی علیحدہ مستقل جد وجہد کرنا ضروری ہے. میرے اقابر ان نظریوں میں ہمیشہ مختلف رہے ہیں اور اب تک ہیں. دونوں نظریے اپنی اپنی جگہ پر اہم ہیں, کسی ایک کو بھی قطعی طور پر غلط نہیں کہا جا سکتا. اسی صورت میں کیا ضروری نہیں کہ جس کے نزدیک جو چیز اہم ہو جس صورت میں نقصان کم ہو اس کو اختیار کرے اور اپنے دوستوں کو بھی ضرور مشورہ دے کہ اس راستے پر چلنا مفید و مناسب ہے اور دونوں کے علاوہ کوئی تیسرا راستہ بین بین نکل سکتا ہو تو اس کو اختیار کر لیں. اور شرط یہ کہ کوئی رہبر کوئی ڈرائیور ساتھ ہو, کوئی راستہ پر چلانے والا ہمراہ ہو. مجھے حیرت ہے کہ ہم لوگ ذرا سے اختلاف سے کتنا مشتعل ہو جاتے ہیں اور پھر اسے لوگوں کی شان میں گستاخیاں اور بے ادبیاں شروع کر دیتے ہیں جن کو ہم اپنا مقتدا اپنا رہبر بھی مانتے ہیں اور جس قوم کے مقتدا ہو کہ یہ حال ہو جو ہم لوگ اپنی تحریروں اور تقریروں میں لکھتے اور کہتے ہیں تو مقتدیوں کا حال خود ظاہر ہے. اسی صورت میں ہم صرف ان اقابر ہی کی شان میں گستاخی نہیں کرتے بلکہ اپنی نااہلیت اور نالائقی کا بھی ڈنکا بجاتے ہیں. کس قدر افسوس کی بات ہے کہ جو اوصاف جمیلہ کبھی مسلمانوں کی شایع نشان تھے وہ آج دوسرے لوگ اختیار کر رہے ہیں اور مسلمان ان کو چھوڑتے جاتے ہیں. آج دوسری قوموں میں باوجود شدید اختلافات کے آپس میں اتحاد ہے اتفاق ہے, ایک اور دوسری کی رائے کے باوجود مخالفت کے اوقات ہے, وہ اندر خانہ اور در پردہ بلکہ اعلان مفتی مشورے بھی آپس میں کر لیتے ہیں اور ہم لوگ کسی بڑے کا اتباع اور اس کی حمایت یا اس کی جماعت میں ہونا اس کو سمجھتے ہیں کہ اس کی مخالف جماعت سے بر سر پیکار رہے, اس کی توہین و تذلیل کے دھپے رہے گو اس میں خود ہمارا نقصان ہو جائے ہماری بدنامی ہو جائے, مگر دل ٹھنڈا جب ہی ہوگا جب دوسری جماعت کی کوئی رسوائی ہوگی اس کا کوئی عیب تشت اسباب ہوگا. خیر القرون اور اسلاف کا ذکر نہیں, میں نے قریب ہی زمانے کے اپنے خاندانی بزرگوں کے قصے کثرت سے سنے ہیں کہ آپس میں جائیدادی قصوں میں مقدمہ بازی ہے, مگر کرانہ تحصیل میں جو کاندہ سے پانچ چھ میل کے فاصلے پر ہے اکثر دونوں فریق ایک ہی بہل میں چلے جاتے تھے. جس فریق نے اپنی بہل جروالی دوسرا بھی اسی میں چلا گیا. انہی واقعات کے سلسلے میں ایک عجیب بات سنی ہے کہ دو عزیزوں میں طویل مقدمہ بازی تھی, ایک عرصہ تک مقدمہ چلتا رہا, اسی دوران میں مدعا علی کا انتقال ہو گیا. مدعی نے مرحوم کے اہلیہ کے پاس کہلا کر بھیجا کہ میری لڑائی بھائی سے تھی, تم جیسے ان کی چھوٹی تھی میری بھی چھوٹی ہو, تم سے کوئی جھگڑا نہیں, کاغذات انسان ہے, جو تم طے کر دو گی اور تجویز کر لو گی وہی مجھے منظور ہے. اسی صدی کا قصہ ہے اور دنیا داروں کا واقعہ ہے. کیا آج کل دیندار کہلانے والے بھی ایسا کرتے ہیں یا کر سکتے ہیں؟ کیا اچھا ہوتا کہ ہم لوگوں کی بجائے تقریب کے تعمیر میں خرچ ہوتے.
To understand this, it gives an example that you've got two expert, experienced drivers driving to Makkah Mukarrama, and the roads are not right, they are untarred roads, there is a fear of robbers on the road, other problems and difficulties on the road. But both have to reach Makkah Mukarramah, right? Now, when both have to reach Makkah Mukarramah, and they know that there are problems that are awaiting them on the roads, so they will try to adopt all type of safety precautions. I can expect this problem, so I must do this, and I can expect this problem, I can do this. So he's weighing all the situation, and after weighing the situation, he's quite careful in how he is going to undertake this journey right to Makkah Mukarramah. Right. So similarly now, in this issue of the Indian subcontinent, this issue is nothing new, it's an issue that's on for approximately 50 years, right? For approximately 50 years it's carrying on. And the ulama are always divided in this issue. One felt that we are a minority. When we are a minority, then we should somehow live here with the Hindus and try and secure our rights. Right? After living with them, we'd have to learn how to secure our Islamic rights. Right? But by the same token, we need to understand that we are securing our rights, securing our Islam. So we don't want to get entangled with them, we don't want to cross lines with them, but we want to see how we can best secure our rights. Right? Half past. So now this is the one ideology, this is the one concept. The other concept is that the other view is this, that we've always experienced the Hindu to be a biased person, very prejudiced. Prejudiced and very short-sighted. So I can't trust him any longer. Now when I can't trust him any longer, then I need to work for my independence and be totally independent of him, so that I don't get trapped into his short-sightedness and his prejudice. Right? Now, both have seen the road. Both understand the road. Both are experienced people. They have also experience. These will also have experience. Now, both are going to exercise the maximum precaution in the light of their experience, in the light of their knowledge, to travel on this road and come to that end. Now, obviously, it will be wrong for people like us who don't have that knowledge, who don't have that experience, to try and now make out a decision for any one of them or preside over this. The right thing is, whoever you feel right, then you join up with them. But now, our hearts only get their comfort and only get the ease when we get the ease of the mind and ease of the heart after we have joined one side and ridiculed the other. We have joined one side, we have become members of this group, and then we don't content ourselves with this, then we will then try and smash the next group out. Some smear campaign, some try and embarrass him, try and disgrace the person. And only after we have embarrassed the person, disgraced the person, smashed him down, only then do we feel at ease, we feel comfortable in our minds. So, in this way, then how can we possibly bring about any type of solution to the problem? We're going to complicate the problem even more. Because if you go to go out in a smear campaign, going to smash the next person, that person is going to do the same. He will align himself with this opposition group and he will do the same with your party. He will go on a smear campaign, he will go and smash that person, he will go and embarrass that person. So now this whole confusion and this whole problem has come about as a result of the supporters of the party, not the senior members, not the founder members of the party, but these people that are supporting. So they don't know how to keep within the lines, and because they don't know how to keep within the lines, therefore they have created this problem for themselves. So the simple thing for us was to do, simple thing was, you feel that this group is right, then you align yourself with it. But now why do you need to go and interfere with these people? This problem is carrying on. Like in our country now, you got this chicken problem, right? Now why do we need to go and interfere with this? There are senior ulama here, senior ulama there. What you feel right, and who you feel are more God-fearing, who have the experience, must go with them and carry on, continue with your life, you will not be answerable. The same, the other party will do, those that feel that it's not right, they will leave it out. And they will go with that group of the ulama, but under no cost will they attack the next group. They will not attack them, they will not ridicule them, they will not bring any type of embarrassment. They will ensure that their hearts are not void of any respect towards them. They're showing the same respect. They're showing the same respect, the same affection, and the same regards as they had before this difference. Before the difference of opinion, the type of respect, the regards, and in the respect that held them, they will maintain the same type of respect. They will not compromise in this in any way. So, when both parties and both groups know their lines, they know their limits. This is my line, this is the limit, and I know I can reach up to this point, I can't go beyond this, and the other group also knows the same, then it's a beautiful place. Don't you see that there are other political parties, right? And they show the respect to each other. Don't you see in court, as it explains one incident, that people that are considered as a worldly class, they've got a problem about a property. Right? And both are sending their members to court. They've got a problem on a property, right? And both are sending their members to court. But it's done in such an honorable, respectable, and lovable manner that if he's pulled out the car, then he's taking on the opposition. Both of us are fighting in court. You pulling out your car, so you're taking on the opposition in the same car, let's go to court together. There in court, then you are disputing the matter. And when it is the lunch break, both are having lunch together. Both are having lunch together. Again, when the lunch is over, then you need to carry on with the dispute. You are continuing with the dispute. And in this one incident, it explains that in the course of the dispute, one brother had passed away. When he passed away, the other brother says, all right, he tells the widow, but see, you are smaller and you are the junior to your husband. In the same manner, you are junior to me as well. So I don't want to dispute with you. What you do is, these are the papers, and whichever way you want this property deal to go, and we are prepared to sign accordingly. Now these are people that are called a worldly class. Now we that are known as a deeni class, conscious of deen, and how much more should we exercise caution in these matters? Allah Ta'ala.